Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, "Hey, Marky"? It might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Wednesday edition. We're going to be smarter when we're done, because we got Brian Bulaga coming up at 9:30, so stick around for that. And we'll also have all kinds of fun with Uncle Homer, which is what we do every Wednesday with him at 10:30. So stick around for that as well edition. I really have to work on being up to speed on the things that go viral on social media. Sydney showed me, Jesse helped me out with his name again, Youngway Koo.
Correct.
The kicker for the Giants. I did not see that. I did not watch Monday Night Football. I'm guessing a lot of people didn't.
How have you not seen that?
That's what I'm saying. Dad, did you see the kicker for the Giants? No. Oh, man. I got to get up to speed. Edition of Wilde and Tausch. A 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video. Thanks to Jesse and Ashton debugging some issues this morning on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free, all-customizable ESPN Wisconsin app, which you can find both in the Apple and Android app stores. I'm Jace Wilde in Green Bay. Yeah, I have no excuse. I'm not up to speed. I gotta pay closer attention. Jesse Nelson, who's always up to speed. And you're not taking Evan up on your 1 year off, just to be clear. I got some questions after the show. I don't want to say
qualified to. I don't think Evan's available to do that actually either.
He's pretty high up in the company. I don't know. I got a few people who were concerned and a few people that were intrigued by the idea. So you're not accepting that offer, is that correct, Jesse?
Well, to my knowledge, it hasn't been formally presented to me.
Okay. So it's still a possibility
I'm a big believer in don't make any decisions on the spot. You know, think all things over before you officially commit. So we'd have to consider some options, yeah.
You can hear more about the suggestion that Jesse could take a year off and then return to his job, and he would be judged, which I don't think he's concerned about, on yesterday's podcast on the ESPN Wisconsin app. And from his undisclosed location, he's the Packers Hall of Famer. He's Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I don't understand. You are a NFL beat writer for 30 years.
Theoretically, yes.
You, for as much as you hate Elon Musk and Twitter, you're on there. I see you. And
occasionally.
You're on there a bit, and which is good. You should be. And you're on other platforms. You're telling me you didn't see?
No.
That kick has been, it's probably 100 million views on different platforms.
So, Sid had her first.
Her on Good Morning America.
There's something really off. Because Jason watches stuff with the background noise on, but then he watches it without it. Like, there's some
malfeasance,
inconsistencies. Yeah, I don't know what it is, Jesse. You know what I'm saying.
Detective Tausch is just right. Something doesn't add up here. How have
something
you
doesn't
gone
add up? It smells.
48 hours.
It smells bad. It smells real bad.
Without seeing the Youngway Koo kick that never was.
Yeah, it's bad.
That everyone has
seen. I don't
seen.
Think he's ever going to be able to kick again. Like, if that happens, every time you're going to kick a, it's hard enough, wind and getting it blocked and all this other stuff, and now you have to think you might not even hit the ball?
Yeah, chunked
it. That'd be hard to overcome. Yeah, I don't think he's going to be kicking much longer in the league.
Yeah, so Sydney had her first club volleyball
free half
practice.
For six.
Yeah, well, yeah. They could sign him off the practice squad. He and Young Wei Koo tried out together for the Giants, and the Giants picked Young Wei Koo instead of him.
I think we caught the best of Haversick.
I think you're possibly very much right, by the way.
And by the way, for everybody, people are giving me grief before you get into Sydney and your volleyball and everything else. I was crystal clear that when McManus was healthy, he was my kicker. I just want to make sure.
Who's giving you grief?
No, because I said free Haversick when McManus came back early from his quad because he thought he might lose his job, and they didn't put him on IR when they should have given him a 4-week break.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have been steadfast that he is our kicker. I didn't want him kicking when he was hurt. He did. It hurt the team. Go ahead.
Yeah, you were right. You were right as rain the whole way through on that. You absolutely were.
He's the Matt Flynn of kickers.
Who, Haversick?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, because Matt Flynn didn't succeed then in Seattle.
No, because he's got a record.
Russell Wilson
stepped in, set a record for the Packers, turned some heads.
That's really good, Jesse.
And probably that's probably his peak.
We're gonna miss
what
that
a start. Well done, Jesse.
We're going to miss that kind of insight when you take the year off.
See you in October 2026.
Really good. You might want to start right now after such a strong start. I didn't want to make this a big deal. I just wanted to confess to it. I'm not lying about this. There's nothing stinky about this scenario, Detective Tausch. I just hadn't seen it, and I was embarrassed when Sydney said that on our way home from her volleyball practice. And I was like, no. And she said, well, I'll send you the clip. And I thought exactly what you said. It's 100% true. I am an NFL beat writer. How the heck am I learning this from my 14-year-old? I was embarrassed, and I wanted to share it with the class. That's all. That's all I wanted to do.
Kind of embarrassing.
Yeah,
it is.
Jason, I got a serious question for you.
Oh, no.
And you're not going to like it.
Okay, I appreciate you preparing me.
I'm nervous about irritating you here, so be ready. No,
good warning
I hope
signal.
Not. Yeah. Jesse and I have a kind of a way we handle you, where we don't get after you till later in the show. That's one of my my rules.
Like,
if I'm going to get after you, it's like 11:15 and later. That's kind of my rule. But I have a serious question because.
It's kind of
there
like my
is
rule
no
not,
doubt
not
you
correct
love
you.
You love storytelling. I don't have any question about that. I know you love it. I know you love telling people stories.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Do you love football?
It's a good question, and it doesn't irritate me because I think it runs a little bit deeper than that, frankly. And now you're going to be irritated with me with the way I'm going to take this. But it's true. I was at an event recently, and I was with Associated Bank and with George Kuntz. And George Kuntz, in our presentation that we did, the Q&A session we did, mentioned that he sustained 17 concussions during his NFL career. Now, to your point about storytelling, George Kuntz is a phenomenal story, right? I mean, this guy was an undrafted free agent from East Carolina. His mom worked four jobs to care for him and his siblings. He was an undrafted free agent. He played in the World League, not NFL Europe. He played in the predecessor to that called the World League, and he got to play in the exotic international city of Columbus, Ohio, playing for the Ohio Glory. But he ends up a crucial piece of the Packers' 1990s renaissance. He misses the Super Bowl win with a torn ACL, but he's a great story. But when he said 17 concussions, it led to a discussion afterward about the players that I have covered over my career, including yourself. We don't make CTE jokes on this show. We allow you to interrupt whenever you feel the need to because you're worried you're going to forget something. I've spent a lot of time in the locker room with a lot of people who I came to respect, who I came to like, some that I love. And my issue with football, I don't claim to know it as well as former players. That's why I believe in talking to experts about things that I don't know as much about. And that's why we love Brian Bulaga coming on here. And we love having you, and we love having Nordy, and we love having Matt Bowen yesterday, who was freaking phenomenal, by the way. If you missed that, be sure you go back on ESPN Wisconsin app to listen to him. He was outstanding. But my issue with football is, and I think I have a for a commoner, for a writer, not a player, I think I have a pretty good understanding of the game. I have a complicated feeling about the game because I've seen some really awful things happen to people, and so I struggle with that. And so, do I watch it for a lot of my own personal enjoyment? No, I don't. Like, you know, Nick Collins is one of our favorite guys. I mean, there's a guy who is on his way to Canton when he suffers a career-ending neck injury, right? Chewy, our teammate on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, great storyteller, awesome guy. We love having him on our team. I've known him forever. But he is constantly worried about all the different things that he's got wrong with him. And you guys, as players, have to figure out the balance between, which I would struggle with. This is the game that gave me so much, and I love the game, and I love all the teammates I had, and all the time I spent in the locker room with them, and the adulation and everything else, and the money, and all that. At the same time, I don't think people always appreciate how much you take as a risk to play this game for our entertainment. And when you give me grief about the whole, entertain me, you're right. We all want to be entertained. But it just for me, because I'm soft and I'm, you know, emotional and all the other things that sometimes are good qualities and sometimes aren't, my relationship with football is a little more complicated than that. And so I just don't, for example, I look around. A lot of what I have and paying all the bills around here is because of what? Football, right? I cover the most popular team in the state. I have all these different opportunities because the subject matter that I cover is far more interesting. I loved covering high school sports. I don't have this if I cover high school sports. And so that is my, that is the very long answer conundrum to my, do I love football?
Yeah, and I think...
So did you watch Commanders-Broncos or not?
I did not. No, I caught the last minute and a half when it happened to be on.
That's a good answer. So that's where when you're Marcus not a Mariela fan and there's not the passion, I understand all that. I think it is complicated. And there's, I think, players and people that are covering it, there is a complication to it, so... Good answer. Nice job.
Thanks. You know what the answer is if your windows suck?
Yep.
Call Gina Della and the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin
right.
Elves.
Not Santa.
Well, if you'd let me get through here, I could let you know. Ensure your home remains comfortable before we have that brutal post-holiday winter. Santa, he's magical, but his elves, they aren't qualified to build Pella's Windows and Doors. So instead of going through the big red guy, take advantage of zero interest for 24 months with Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. It can be hard to find a good bargain during the shopping season. Well, we just gave you one. And Pella's elves, they will install year-round and can finish installation as little as a day. But hurry up. The deal ends December 31st, so schedule your free consultation today at PellaWI.com.
A lot lighter subjects. Not just Young Wei Koo's chunking his... So that ended up being a sack? Is that what that ends up being?
How did we go from, did you see the Young Wei Koo kick to what we just did for
in the middle there was, I'm going to ask you a question, you're not going to like it.
Well, I would just think, because the hard part, I'm sure, on your end is you don't want to just do stuff for money. You want to do it because you're passionate about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's 1,000 ways for you to tell stories. You could get into 100 different avenues, right?
Yeah.
That's the tricky part. That's where I think some people on the outside are like, well, if you don't have a passion or a love of it and you are conflicted, it is trickier. That's all. That was kind of my point.
No, I appreciate the opportunity.
And you can do the same thing as players, because there's not a lot of ways for guys to make the kind of money that you make playing football. There's
right.
not.
Right. And there are certain guys that...
You do pay the price. There is no doubt about that.
When you're trying to shovel your walkway and you can't use one of your legs.
I think... And I do think people are more in tune with it than maybe you think. Probably not to the degree, but I think people... That's why I think you get the admiration still when you're done playing. Thank you for your service that we use in jest from a football standpoint, because we do give up a lot.
We will lighten the mood after my serious answer to Tausch's question, and we'll get ready for our buddy Brian Bulaga next. So stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Wilde and Tausch rolls on as we get ready for Brian Bulaga to join us. Matt LaFleur will be at the podium during the 11 o'clock hour, so you'll make sure you want to catch that. We'll have updates for you throughout that entire time. But let's flip the script.
Yeah, I agree. That's on me. It's on me. I should always stick with my rule of nothing real heavy until 11:15. So that's on me.
I thought it was just nothing that would irritate me.
Why did you?
It's a little bit of both.
Don't keep looping me into
your plans. Jesse and I have had those discussions, and that's good. Does it feel like both sides are trying to play nice and not really for Sunday? And it kind of feel like everybody, you know. Ben Johnson throws his red meat at the Bears during his opening presser back in January last year.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And now everybody is kind of, let's play nice. I think the Packers are much more confident. It just feels like much more confident than where the Bears are at. I think the Bears are treading and hoping, and maybe I'm just looking at that because I am a Packer fan. But it feels like everybody is just kind of, let's not do anything to spur anything on
or any
fires.
Kind of like you until 11:15. Yeah.
Well done.
So I have a question so we can get ready for Brian Bulaga. We'll get into the Packers-Bears rivalry. Are there any of these rules that you have enacted since you've announced the one that you and Jesse have teamed up on to manage me? Do you have any of these rules with Matt LaPay, your other work partner, broadcast partner, and friend?
I do not have any rules with Matt. Matt, he's more of a pro than I am. To answer your question, no, I don't have any.
Because the good people at Awful Announcing... proclaiming that the dynamic duo of Matt LaPay and Mark Tauscher are the number 4 ranked college football radio team in all the land.
You're number 4. You're number 4.
Tausch, when this came across your desk, what were your initial thoughts?
Who's ahead of us?
God, can't you just revel in the fact that they ranked 68 teams and you're number 4?
You asked me what I thought. That's what I thought. I'm not going to lie to you.
I appreciate you not lying.
And then I read it, and listen, man, I know where there's a pecking order in life. Matt LaPay is the best in the business. He is at, if it was just up to who is the best play-by-play guy, he would be probably number one with a big gap. And so Matt has lugged me up, and, you know, he is the best. So I'm not surprised by that. He's really blanking good at his job.
So to answer Tausch's question, although they got an A grade and they got 92.7% votes of A, B, or C, the tandems that ranked ahead of LaPay and Tausch, the Indiana Hoosiers team of Don Fisher and Buck Sir are number three.
Buck the, Sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
At number two, Justin Allegri and Mike Pawlowski, who I believe is a former quarterback for this school. The Cal Golden Bears of the ACC. And the number one, according to Awful Announcing's college football radio play-by-play and color analyst tandems, the Ohio State Buckeyes with Paul Keels and Jim Lachey.
Ohio State.
Yeah, we can't beat Ohio State in anything.
Nope.
We can't beat Ohio State in anything, can we?
For those who have not seen this, and, I'm being told by sources that our good friend Dan Kelly, retired from AmFam, but now a professor at the University of Wisconsin. He'd be the most popular business professor in the history of the University of Wisconsin. Was among the people who voted. So you apparently they opened this up to everybody, and he gave you guys an A. So I'm happy to report
that. We appreciate Dan.
That
I give Dan
the grade.
An A. Yeah. I'll give Dan an A on should everything that he is looking at.
Should we check the commentary from the article?
Well, see, that's where I was. It's not 11:15, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Shocker.
They picked up 30 A's on 55 grades.
That's pretty dang good, man.
You guys
Very
are good.
Good, yeah.
We all know you're good. But some of the what they chose for this paragraph is something else. The comments particularly keyed in on LaPay. Some remarks there included Wisconsin fans are lucky to have Matt LaPay, who is one of the very best. LaPay is a pro's pro, one of the best. And Matt LaPay, in my opinion, is the ideal football/basketball radio announcer. He simply doesn't miss a beat. Listening to his broadcasts, you feel like the action is right in front of your eyes,
yeah.
And he doesn't fill in gaps with nonsense. He is completely focused.
What a pro.
Tauscher also drew some praise, including, quote, has fit right in with his passion for his alma mater.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a really nice compliment. Thank you, Awful Announcing.
And your typical O-line guy with tons of fat jokes and an understanding of dominating the game up front.
Yeah. So
fat
I'll say
guy
this.
Joke.
I mean,
typical O-line guy.
Obviously, I watched the game through because I always say, and the best advice I've gotten in doing this is, why did the play happen? You know, obviously radio is a little different than TV. You have to describe it.
Yeah.
But why did it happen? And almost every play, why does something happen? Usually something, if there's a TFL, well, the right guard got beat with a power move by the defensive tackle.
Ba-ba-ba. Sure.
So I have, that is exactly, as long as I am blessed to have this opportunity to work with Matt, my eyes will always be there, and then it will spread out. So that is how I do games. And I ain't changing.
You shouldn't.
This whole fat guy joke idea. I don't know where the hell any of this is coming from because that is not anything. I do that on this show. But
Four-way stretch from Iron John.
Yes. I was trying to think of when did I do that in a game format? I just haven't. So I have come to learn, and people are like, oh, you – I have had backhanded compliments my whole life. I could sit and just be pissed off and complain about it, or I could say, to hell with you, I am going to live my life, and that is the road I've went down for the last 25 years, and I feel a lot better about it doing it that way. So that is so dumb. And if that's what cost us from being number four to number one, shame on awful announcing. That's what I would say.
I think it's a great honor. I cannot recommend enough, as I have said for years, it's very easy now with the dawn of being able to pause live TV. It is very easy to sync up the radio broadcast, which you can get on the Varsity app from Learfield, with your TV experience. And I cannot recommend it enough. The chemistry that you guys have is great. I think number four out of 68 teams ranked is really, really good. That puts you in the college football playoff. And
Even in the old playoff.
I thought it was well-deserved.
Not just some fat guy jokes, tons of fat guy jokes.
Yeah, because they were trying to say tons being fat. Like, you get how writers
clever.
Do it.
Yeah, it's
lame.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's a lame deal. But I will just want to echo again, and you guys all know how I feel about Matt. Everything that they said there is 1,000% true about Matt. And that's we are incredibly blessed that he is here. And we'll continue to push him to stay until he's 85 years old. That is the goal that we have. So
that is
whether or not we'll be successful with that, I don't know, but we'll push.
I am definitely on that team as well. So congratulations to you guys. You are also, it's worth noting, among the finalists for Wisconsin Sportscaster of the Year.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You're having a good year,
nice.
Man.
Pretty good year for having a bad football team. We had a pretty good year.
If you just tones of fat jokes.
If you just tone down the fat guy jokes a little bit, you might be in good shape to win.
Or maybe I need to add more. I don't know. Maybe I have to even crank it up a little bit more.
We need to get to Brian Bulaga, who played offensive line with Tausch, and he could do that job too if Iowa ever called him and wanted him. But I don't think they would be able to have him do it from his home in Florida. So
another typical O-line guy.
Yeah. Fewer fat jokes, though, from Brian Bulaga, I think. Yeah?
What's that supposed to mean?
Just saying. He doesn't make as many jokes about fat guys. That's all.
Okay.
I don't make any jokes about Racine Danish Kringle, and I got a notification from UPS.
Well, you kind of do. You have these fun jingles, and you're having laughs. You make a lot of jokes about Racine. Not the actual product, but the contest and everything else. It's fun.
Yeah, but I don't
it's
make...
a lot of fun.
That's fair. That's a fair criticism. I appreciate that.
Thank you. It's not a criticism.
I was more thinking, making jokes about how much I love Racine Danish Kringle and how I look. Mm. Those were kind of the jokes that
Tausch, wait till 11:15. Oh. Remember the plan.
Boy, I love the fact you're so scared to acknowledge that we have a plan. That's the funny part about it.
You should make your plan to join our Jingle for Your Kringle contest presented by Racine Danish Kringles. You can win Kringle for a year, a whole year, like the Kringle of the Month Club you would be in, if your 60-second or less jingle is selected as our Jingle for Your Kringle winner. All you got to do is go to ESPNWisconsin.com, submit your song. It's easy now, right? You don't have to have a orchestra behind you, right? Just jump on your phone, sing into your phone, and send it to us. All you got to do is make sure you include the phrase, it's not just a treat, it's a tradition, in your song. And if you do that, you will have a chance to win Kringle for a year. And if you don't want to sing, but you still want to enjoy all the great flavors of Racine Danish Kringle, just go to Kringle.com or call them at 800-4-DANISH to order. They have been a great partner of ours for a very, very long time. This is one of the fun things we do around the holidays. And we appreciate their partnership very much. Speaking of things we appreciate, every Wednesday with Brian Bulaga. He will join us next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Wildy and Tausch on 100.5 ESPN is brought to you by Everlight Solar. Save money, save the planet. Everlight Solar.
I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of, but back in the road. city we're in. But when I go back home, I've got some famous friends. Yeah, I do.
As we say hello to Brian Bulaga, we say goodbye to his signature intro music, because again, it creates some issues on the YouTube and the Spotify, even though we pay good money for, pay royalties, if you will, for that music. We are making the shift to royalty-free tunes to try and improve your experience on YouTube and get back on Spotify. But that doesn't change how much we love this guy, no matter what music we use for his walk-up music. It is Brian Bulaga on Wilding Tosh. Brian, if you have any royalty-free favorite songs, let us know. We can send you some options.
Yeah, I'm going to need a list. I'm going to need a list that I can choose from.
Yeah. Jesse, get on it.
Yeah, I'm going to need a list.
Anything for you, Mr. Bulaga?
I mean, I don't know my options, you know, and I don't want to play that, you know, tag game with Jesse. Hey, how about this? But not good. So, you know, just a list would be good.
We will get that to you. Hey, before we get into Packers Bears, I saw a question in our YouTube comments that caught my eye, and the question was about the Lambeau Field mystique, because obviously it's from Dr. Denver Dan in the ESPN Madison YouTube, and I wanted to ask you, Brian, because you were back for the Vikings game as a honorary captain, along with Corey Lindsley, our other good buddy. But you obviously played more recently than Tausch did. Dan's question is the Lambeau mystique still a major advantage? It feels like ever since Sauce wore a cheesehead that no one seems intimidated anymore. And I thought that was a good place to start with Packers-Bears this week. And obviously this game being at Lambeau, they lost. They didn't have much to play for, but they did lose to the Bears in the finale last year. You hear Matt LaFleur asking people not to sell their tickets to Vikings fans. I'm sure he'll say the same thing today about Bears fans. Do you think that the home field advantage has taken a hit in recent years, or do you think that that's not an accurate narrative?
You know, I don't know if it's maybe as strong as I would say. I guess it was maybe when I was there in 19, because I felt like in 19. It was very strong, right? Like I felt like in 19, it was, you felt like you would go out in Lambeau and you would win every game. Like it felt like the crowd was majority green and yellow. You didn't see too much away team colors. I do remember that first game against Minnesota. I think it was early on we played them. I did remember seeing a little bit of purple in the crowd, which was kind of different for me in 2019, but I didn't think much of it. It wasn't really noisy or anything like that. But for the rest of the games, it was green and yellow for most of the entire game, right? So I don't know how much it's changed since then, but I do, you know, that game against Minnesota that I went to, there were a lot of Vikings fans. Like I remember walking through the parking lot before the game. I'm like, there's a ton of Vikings fans here. And it just was very odd to me. Like I just, I never remember it being that way. But on the flip side for this one, I think Packers fans despise the Chicago Bears that much that I don't see that narrative being too much the case this week. I don't think like tickets will be sold. I think Packers fans want to be at this one. And this one means, I think, so much more to Packers fans than beating Minnesota. I just do, right? Like, I just think that this rivalry, and now that this game actually means something, it like being at this one means more to people. And that's why I think this home field is going to – I think that shifts back to Green Bay now, right? Like, I think that mystique of being in Lambeau will – you'll get that feel again. Because, like, that loss last year against Chicago, I remember sitting on the couch watching that. And I'm watching that game, like, I'm like, this is slop. Like, that's what that game looked like. It was just absolute slop. And I'm like, this is a joke of a game. I felt like the players didn't care, right? Like, that's what it looked like. It looked like they didn't care. And Chicago, you know, they cared. They wanted to play. They wanted to do it. And Green Bay looked like they kind of wanted to get out of that thing with no injuries. And obviously Christian Watson gets hurt in that game. If I'm remembering the correct game, I believe, right? Is that the game he got hurt in? Because
he
got hurt in that game, if I remember
he
correctly.
He played because somebody else couldn't, and he wasn't even probably supposed to. And
Correct. Romeo Doubs was sick.
Yes, exactly. So, like, that game was just it was a disaster from the get-go, and Chicago holds that game near and dear, and so do the fans. So I think Green Bay fans hold a little grudge from that last year. So, like, I still think Lambeau holds a home field advantage personally, right? And what it – to me, the minute this team wins the division again, I think that home field mystique, you bring it back, right? Because winning brings that – pride back of like home field advantage, right? When you haven't brought back a division title like NFC North and kind of controlling that division, it kind of floats away a little bit, right? When you lose games at home against Detroit, like they did when, you know, they missed the playoffs when Aaron was there that
22.
Last time.
Yep.
When you lose those games, fans, they feel a certain way, right? Like it's like they get a sense of, like, you know, what's the deal here? But when you start to win the division again, like, that brings back that pride that, like, hey, we're part of this thing, right? So, like, you win this game and you go on to win the division, I think you get that sense of home field advantage again, and the fans feel that. So, to me, it's like it's on the players to get this thing done and bring that pride back to the fans. And, like, it's not like the Green Bay Packer fans don't have pride. They love their team. Let's not get that.
Well,
they
do love their team, but I did notice something else that, again, I had to admit at the start of the show that I didn't see Younghoe Koo's aborted kick field goal attempt on Monday. I hadn't realized this either, that – I'm sorry?
No, I just – that was weird. Go ahead.
11:15.
Yeah, it's true.
Shut up, Jesse.
Kept it.
I also had not noticed this because I would like to think I'm observant, but I saw Aaron Nagler from Cheesehead TV make an impassioned plea this week for players to go back to doing Lambeau leaps that apparently that there have not been. And again, I'm like taking notes on the play, so I don't really look at the celebration when I'm at home games.
Guy.
Would you stop with the under your breath remarks? Aborted mission.
Subliminal Wednesday.
Yeah, okay.
Subliminal Wednesday.
Okay. I didn't realize that guys had stopped doing Lambeau leaps, but apparently there's a epidemic of non-Lambeau leap celebrations going on after touchdowns. Maybe
why,
that would help
that,
with the home field.
Is that accurate?
I think it is.
Yeah.
Again,
I guess
I'm not a fan, and as I have already established today, I'm not especially observant, but I believe that's
not
true. Now that I stop to think about it, I'm trying to think of how many times I've seen guys go into the stands this season at home games, and it's a pretty low number. I think Aaron Nagler is right.
Yeah, that's yucky. They can't do that.
You can't do that.
Yeah, you got a Lambeau leap when you score a touchdown. I don't know what they're doing. Like, you can't not do that. Like, that's like the most basic thing when you score a touchdown as a Green Bay Packer. Like, you Lambeau leap. Like, I don't care what the
situation is. Brian. Yes.
Yes, it does not matter what the situation is. You go into the stands. Like, that's, and you go into the stands with the guys that are like holding beers and like that's where you go. Like,
yeah, you
go
catch up on your jersey.
Yeah, yeah. You go find the people that are having the best time and you jump into their section. Like, that's the whole point, because if you don't do it, the opposing team is definitely going to go do it. They are definitely going to go jump into the stands when they score and rub it in your face. So you need to take back that tradition. There is absolutely no doubt. If you
let
that
slip.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that was the case. That's Jesse, go do a little research. See how many Lambeau leaps have been done in the last. Well, first off, Carolina, I don't know if we scored one touchdown. It wasn't great. Philadelphia,
Eagles
we didn't
game,
score.
Panthers game, we didn't score much. Vikings
not
game.
Not ideal. Minnesota, we scored, though,
took the foot off the gas.
Brian and I were both at the game. We didn't. There were no Lambeau leaps.
No,
and there was a lot
remember.
Of purple in the stands that day, too. It was probably, I'd say, 40% purple in the crowd that day. So, Brian, before we move on to the actual nuts and bolts and get your ideas on Belton, how he played last week, is it because to me, home field at Lambeau was all about weather and the fact we were a good football team? And I think the fact that we had never lost a postseason game until Michael Vick came in on a cold, dreary January night and just gutted us. And since then, I don't even think our record at home is 500. If it is, it's barely in the playoffs. So is it because there is no doubt with the additions to the stadium, place a lot louder than it used to be. Like, it is a lot louder. Yeah. So this is built to have a monster home field advantage. And I think the question marks from Dr. Denver Dan, is that who left
yes.
that out there?
Correct. Yep.
Is it more weather? Because it does, and I think Holmgren or Ron Wolf said this back in the day, home field advantage is good when you're really good. If you're not, nobody gives a rip. And Seattle's finding that out because – it used to be Seattle wouldn't even get games on primetime because they beat the hell out of everybody they played. So they didn't even put them on when they had when they were really in their 2013 to 15 or 16. That's what really matters, right? It's the quality of who you actually have playing, and that builds the home field advantage and everything else.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. And, like, well, I always thought the weather was – obviously, that to me was always the biggest thing. Is it's the weather and it's the elements. It's all of that, right? It's bringing teams that aren't used to that. Like, obviously, Chicago's used to it. They play outdoors. They play on grass. Obviously, the grass that they play on is absolute junk. But they, you know, they play on grass. They play outside, so they're used to it. But it's when you bring in Detroit, you bring in Minnesota, and you bring in teams from the South and the West, and they come and play and. You know, these later months. That's, to me, the biggest advantage. And then you get into the postseason, and then it's cold. I mean, it's very cold. That is the biggest advantage to me. And then, obviously, if you're a good football team, well, that's the cherry on top of that, right? And, obviously, you're not in the postseason unless you're a good football team. So, good football teams create their home field advantage, right? And the weather and all those things are is what – it adds on top of that, right? And I always thought in Green Bay, we were so good at adapting to that, and we were just able to play through that. Like, it wasn't a big deal. Like, like the defensive linemen on the other side of the field hated playing in Lambeau when it was cold because, oh, we couldn't get our footing. We were slipping all the time on our get-offs. I had no problem, like, taking on bull rushes. I didn't slide back when they ran into me. But for some reason, they were sliding as they were pushing into me. I don't know why. Maybe it was – because I was used to the way the field was, and they weren't. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. But it was just the way it was. Or their wide receivers were slipping coming out of breaks. Ours weren't. It is the way it is, right? But you create your own advantages, right? And I think the players, you know, it's how you adapt to it. And I think the fans, obviously, and how that place has been renovated and how they've added on the additions, they create that extra environment now, right? And the players, it's up to them to give those fans that incentive to make that.
Yeah, and that enjoy it a little bit. Yeah, when you have a touchdown, go celebrate. I didn't realize this. I'm glad Nagler pointed this out. What are we doing?
Yeah.
That's fun. It brings a little juice.
I'm going to put it this way, and I know Jesse's probably mad we got to take a break, but when there were interceptions and touchdowns and things like that, we were sitting up in that alumni suite, and how loud it was, like, because we were, obviously you're right next to fans, and the type of music that they were playing, way different than what when I was there. I mean, we're talking hip hop and things like that, and I'm sitting there and I'm going, this is unbelievable. Like, this is fantastic. Like, this is great. Like, this is like a complete 180 from when we were here. Like, this is stuff that actually gets crowds into it. It gets the players into it. It is like a complete, you know, vibe change in this stadium from when we were there. Now I don't know if that's a policy thing or a Mark Murphy thing. I have no idea, but it is a big change of how the stadium environment is on game day, because it is way different from when I was there.
And
against
they still
the Chargers.
Hit roll out the barrel. I was sitting at where I was
do.
Sitting was near the roll
they
out
do.
The barrel, folks, and they hammered
do.
That still. Absolutely,
yep, they still do. They still get to
turn
roll the
whole
out the
game
barrel.
Around, roll out the barrel.
Yeah.
Punt. No. I think that was right when the punt got when they muffed the punt. They rolled out the barrel, yep. And we rolled the Vikings out of town. And all those purple folks left about 7 minutes.
They
ago
still
the
get
game.
The tradition. Hey, you could still get your favorite Packer traditions, but get the change of culture in the stadium as well. And to me,
Chiefs
that's fantastic.
Is roll out the barrel at the start of the fourth quarter? Are we going to have to move it if we're going to play Enter Sandman for Micah Parsons? Is it going to have to be shifted to a different
spot? I think we could do roll out the barrel earlier. Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah.
Enter Sandman needs to be like Renegade. When
right.
the defense goes on the field, and it could be with 5 minutes left in the fourth, or it could be with 8 minutes left in the fourth. But I do love adding that in, and I bet Mike and the – I mean, you imagine – it's dark. It's getting a little dark out on Sunday night. It's a close game. Snow flurries are hitting. You got the John Facenda voice just blaring over. And Enter Sandman royalty. They're paying the royalties
they
to
do
have
yes,
that.
Yes, yes. They got to pay the royalty.
And you get that bump in. And Blue, I've told Jason in this story a bunch. But when Renegade came on in Pittsburgh, and we were in an absolute shootout with them, and I think 09. It is the coolest deal. And to have that with your defense getting hyped, and they actually are supposed to get loud, you get everybody cranked up, got to do that in the fourth quarter this Sunday. That would be legendary.
I'm finally writing that story for Sunday, and I have been working to get clarification on whether this is something that they plan on doing or not, because it was Jeff Hafley's idea. I'm curious. I was told you do have to pay the royalties, so there are some hoops to jump through. Much like we're
experiencing. I think they can afford it. I think
they're doing okay.
It.
I think they've got the money. Yeah. I was told that we want to, if it is going to happen, they want it to be a surprise. So we will see if we are surprised on Sunday with Metallica and Enter Sandman. We'll get to more football, directly related football conversation, because I do want to get what Brian thought of Anthony Belton. He did not grade out well, according to Pro Football Focus. We'll see if Bulaga Football Focus saw the same things as they did. After I tell you about Gruber Law Offices, we all see the same thing there. A winning team that if you've been injured in an accident is the only place to go. There are competitors that want to take away and make it sound like they know what they're doing. They don't. Not to the degree of Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. 414-276-6666. 414-276-6666. Go to the website. Find out more about the history. Everything David does in our community. It's gruber-law.com. More with Brian Bulaga next. So stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Trying out some of the new royalty-free music for our Brian Bulaga. What do you think this? What do you think of this? This sounds like pretty good entry music. You're kind of walking in like Vince McMahon, strutting maybe a little bit. No. We'll test a few other things out as we go. Speaking of testing things out, 2 weeks ago against the Vikings, the Packers go into the game planning on rotating 2024 first-round pick Jordan Morgan and 2025 second-round pick Anthony Belton at right guard. And then they just go with Belton the rest of the way, and then he starts on Thanksgiving, plays the entire game, all 63 snaps. Pro Football Focus was not kind in its grading of him. He admitted he has a lot of work to do, but we only go by what Brian tells us. What did you see from Anthony Belton?
Yeah, I mean, I don't look at the Pro Football Focus grades. It's not really something that I pay attention because I don't understand their grading formula. So I don't know what they graded him on or how they do it. Again, due respect, like you could have a perfect game, have like two bad plays essentially, which I think is a really good game, and you could have like a 70% in Pro Football Focus. So like I don't know what that even means with them. So, but like I guess to Pro Football Focus's credit, or not to their credit, but like I guess to not even validate them, he was a little bit inconsistent in the game. Like he didn't play poorly. Like I'm going to say that. Like he didn't play poorly against Detroit. In the past game, he had a few pressures that he gave up. Right. I think he probably, like from what I remember watching, he was probably around, I think probably legit 3 or 4 pressures that I would probably put on him in the past game. But I thought he was overall pretty solid in the run game too. I thought he did a nice job. But that's what he brings to this offensive line, is a really, really big physical presence in the run game. He does a really nice job opening up lanes with double teams, and he climbs really well to the second level too, and is able to get to the second level and seal linebackers and things like that. So that's what he does well. Obviously, he needs to work in one-on-one situations as a guard and pass blocking reps. Like that's where he struggles, and that's where he kind of got beat from time to time, is in those situations. So like that would be, to me, when he's watching the film, and that's probably what he's mentioned or what he said, there's things he needs to work on. Like it's the one-on-one matchups and pass pro, like that, because that's where he from time to time lost reps at, right? Like he gave up some pressures. But I think for his first road test, and a huge road test, right? Like I think we could all say like that was a playoff atmosphere. Like there's a lot of nerves on that game, there's a lot riding on that game, and for him to go in there in that situation and I think play a pretty good game overall. I think I get he graded a certain way and he gave up some pressures and things like that, but I would say that there's a lot of encouraging things to watch on tape that he can build off of, right? And there's correctables and there's things like that, but I'm not going to sit here and be like, man, this was a disaster. This was a disaster. It wasn't. There's easily things that he can clean up, get better at, and move on to this week. So I'm still very encouraged by the way he's playing. I think, I think the way that he played from Minnesota to Detroit, they were two different games the way they played too, right? I mean, Minnesota, they ran the ball a bunch. Now they threw the ball a little bit more against Detroit, and that's a different skill set, pass blocking. Right. And Tausch knows that. I know that. You get put in different situations. It's a whole different game when you're asked to be put on an island a little bit more. And the way they do things, right, Zach Tom gets put on an island. The center doesn't slide to the right that much. The center slides to the left quite a bit, right? He slides over there, and Zach Tom gets put on an island. The right side gets put left alone a little bit more, so that means Belton's going to get left alone a little bit more as well. And that's just the way things go. I mean, that's the way it goes with the way the protection's set up based on who you think your strongest tackle is, so to speak. So they're going to, with that game, they're going to chip Hutchinson and slide the center left. So that's the way it worked, right? So that puts Belton a little bit, little bit of a situation where he had space to cover one-on-one situations, and hey, he won some, he lost some. But I think he's gonna be fine. He's a big physical presence, and he's gonna learn from it, I think, because I think he's a solid player in there.
Blue, yep, have you noticed, is the run game a lot better with Belton in there than when Jordan Morgan was in there? And vice versa, was the pass protection similar, or is it better? Because Jason might be able to get his dream of having a pass-blocking guard just come in and substitute on 3rd and 5.
It's not 11-15.
Now, and I'm not. I'm joking, but so I guess can you just let our fans know how is the run game this much? Because it was noticeable. Yeah, they highlighted a few of the duos, and it was backside. So Shido and Banks were really – and there was a lot of space on a few of them. Is that run game a lot better with Belton in over Morgan?
I mean, they are a lot more consistent, it seems like. It seems like they're a lot more consistent. It seems like they are handling the down guys a lot better on that side of the ball right now. If that make, I mean, you understand what I'm saying. Like, so the double team on that side of the ball is a lot better. Even if it's one-on-one, there's movement being had right now, and guys are being displaced off the line of scrimmage, which is obviously the most important thing. He's moving guys off the line of scrimmage and creating space for the running backs to get going off the initial, you know, snap of the ball. And then what I think is really good too, like on these duos that you're talking about, which Jacobs is obviously fantastic at, he's giving, you know, between him and, you know, whether it's Sean Ryan or it's backside with him and Zach Tom, he and whoever he's comboing with is giving Jacobs room to get into the line of scrimmage, right? Mm-hmm. To set blocks up, right? So when you're able to give Jacobs time to set these blocks up, he can manipulate linebackers for you, right? So he can bring linebackers to you as a when you're double teaming these down guys, so you can stay on the down guy longer and then allow him to bring the linebacker to you instead of chasing linebackers. Because when you got to chase linebackers, that means you're letting the down guy go too early, then he can make the play, which is just what's kind of been happening early on in this season. They've been chasing guys. That means you're cutting up the down guy loose, and then he's making the play, and it's just that's what it's looked like early on. From a pass blocking standpoint, he gave up pressures, right? There were pressures on the day, but there weren't, like, it wasn't like there were no sacks. Jordan didn't get hit. Like, there weren't any, like, big, like, hits. You're like, ooh, that, like, he can't be taking those hits. Like, there wasn't anything like that. So, like, I don't know if I'm going to say, like, the pass blocking was worse by any stretch of the imagination. I think as a group, they still need to get better at that, right? Like, I think there's good elements to the pass blocking unit. I think that's still something that they need to improve on as a group. And what I mean by that is passing off stunts and things. I think they need to get on the same page with that, because I think that's their one spot that they struggle with right now. And that's when you rotate centers in and things like that, when there's a lot of twisting and stunting, especially with linebackers, it's passing off stunts and getting on different levels that becomes an issue. It just does. And that's what they need to work on a lot. But I don't think that they're any worse in the pass game. And I think in the run game, they've improved. I mean, you could see by the numbers. The numbers are what they are, right? Like, you look at the Minnesota game, and now you look at this game. I think Jacobs was at, like, 4.9 a crack. And I think, and obviously the Minnesota game, once he entered it, they ran the ball really well. I don't know the exact numbers in the Minnesota game, but they were very, very good, if I recall.
So, Brian, I made a controversial statement that I don't know if the film backs it up. I've been looking forward to asking you about
where
this.
Where did you say this controversial? It wasn't on our show.
Yeah, it was on this show. You got after me for it. And it wasn't even 11:15 that day.
We're going to need a new plan, Tosh. Yeah,
I thought you weren't even involved, Jesse.
Yeah, Jesse.
So I said that it's possible, and it pained me to say it because we love Elgton Jenkins on this show. He is one of our guys, like you. But is it possible, I asked, that they're actually better off with Sean Ryan at center than they were with Elgton at center, just because of how it has now caused them to reconfigure their line? Certainly there are other factors, including Jordan Morgan not being in the mix. But I believe Elgton Jenkins, regardless of all the stuff we were told in the offseason, I personally thought from the jump, if a guy is one of the best guards in football, leave him at guard. And that's not what they did. So do you think that it is possible Or have you seen evidence that Sean Ryan being at center has actually been better for the overall offensive line play since Elton got hurt?
I mean, so what Sean Ryan's first game starting was what? The Giants? It was the Giants?
I think so. Let me fact check that while you give your thoughts.
So it was the Giants, but he went in against the Eagles, if I'm not mistaken, right? Elton got hurt against the Eagles, but then started against the Giants.
Yes.
Okay.
You're correct. Yep.
Okay. So this is what I'm going to say about that, right? Like, I always look at things like big picture, right? And when you remove what I think is a all-pro and Pro Bowl-type player from a lineup, like, I always think that's going to hurt a group. I always think that's going to hurt a group one way or another based on his knowledge, his leadership, and things like that, right? Like, I think that's always going to be a negative. But on the flip side of that, I think the experiment of putting him at center might have been miscalculated. Like, I just think that experiment might not have been their best guess. We'll just put it that way. Like, that might have not been the thing. Like, if you wanted to get Banks, that's okay, right? Like, maybe you wanted to go get Banks too, and you wanted a bolster, but maybe the solution then would have been kick Elton to right guard, or maybe leave him at left guard to try Banks at right, you know, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. I just don't know if what all that happened in the offseason with him missing and then training camp starting late, and then putting him in at center, how it all worked out, and then the way everything started, if he was going to be ready to hold, to do what the center position, you know, demanded. Like, I think people underestimate what the center position demands. Like, it is a very demanding position, and I think it's underestimated because, like, oh, you snap the ball and you point at someone. It's like, no, it's really not just that. There's a lot that goes into it. Now, do I think
that is what Jason thought? That is what Jason thought centers do, is you just stand there and you point at.
Wait a minute! It sounds to me like it sounds to me like Brian is giving me some support in my position, which would make.
Oh, I don't know about that. I was just making an observation,
as opposed to a ball watcher, but maybe not. All right.
No, I just think that, from a overall standpoint, like. It's very hard to, at least for me, like, to say you remove Elton and they're better, right? Like, that's hard for me. That's hard for me to say.
It's hard for me to say that too.
You know what I mean? Like, that's a tough thing for me to, like, to grasp. But, like, Elton at the center position compared to Elton at the guard position, like, we're talking a big difference. And, like, because even Elton, when he played tackle, I thought was very high level when he had to go play tackle, right? Mm-hmm. But that was temporary as well, right? Like, mm-hmm. Remember, that was a temporary thing as well. That's not a permanent thing. So, like, he was a permanent guard, and he was a very high-level permanent guard. And that's what we always have to remember with this thing. And maybe the center shift was a little miscalculated, and with missing all the time that he did, maybe he wasn't fully ready to do what he needed to do to make that switch. But again, there's still a lot of ball left in this season to how this thing pans out, and we'll see how that goes. I mean, we're two games into the Sean Ryan at center era, right? Like, we're two games into it.
Three.
I get they've won two – or three games, sorry. Three
they've
games,
won all
three
of them.
Into it.
They are undefeated with him at center.
Yes, they are.
Number 75 in your program. Number one in your hearts. Much like it was back when you were playing.
Yep. It's true. It's true.
We got a mip from him like I usually do.
Yeah. You two are starting to morph. You guys are morphing into the same guy. I don't know if that's good for Brian.
Very similar. A lot of similarities. Yep.
Yep.
I got nothing else. I can't give an honest.
Well, thanks a lot, Brian.
I can't give a yes or no on that. Like, just like we do on the pregame. Like just kind of like for you. Like, I can't give a yes or no on that. Like, it's just like a
Brian. Before we let you go,
shout out to Alex Stroh.
I guess the overarching question of this game to me is going to be: can we stop what we saw the Bears do to the Eagles? Do you think this defense is built to stop that, even with some of the injuries on the inside of this defensive line. Because if the Bears can't do that, they ain't winning this game on Sunday.
Yeah, that I guess that's my biggest concern with Wyatt being out. Can you stop the run? And then I don't – is Quay going to be available? I don't know if is Quay available
Jason?
Or not.
We don't know. I would assume by now that the residual effects of that stinger have subsided, but I cannot say that for certain. Matt LaFleur is going to be at the podium in about an hour.
Okay, so like those are all big questions into this. Chicago runs the ball really well, right? Like you look at that run game, and it's very well oiled, and obviously the two interior players that they picked up. The two guards that they essentially picked up in free agency and traded for, whatever it may be, are very good. They're very good, and they run the zone scheme very well. But if you're able to stop their run game, yeah, they're in trouble. They're in trouble. It's who's going to pick up the slack for Wyatt. That's really what this is do you have guys
Brinson,
that are able to pick up that?
My guy, Brinson.
Yeah. Yeah, and if those guys can pick up the slack, and obviously I think McDuffie did a great job against Detroit, right? Like I think he did a great job against Detroit. Mm-hmm. I think Chicago's run game is a little bit different. I get that it's Ben Johnson's run game, right? I understand that. I think Chicago is kind of their offensive line is a little bit from an interior standpoint. The interior guys are playing at a higher level. In Chicago right now, right? Like those center and two guards are playing at a higher level than Detroit's guys. So you need your middle backers to be playing at a high clip because that's where everything happens with Chicago's offensive line right now is the interior three. So I think Green Bay can do it. I think those guys can do it because it's all about penetration against the zone scheme. Against Ben Johnson's scheme, it's penetration. If you can disrupt in the first two steps of the, you know, as offensive linemen, we want to get our first two steps down. If you can disrupt in the first two steps and get initial kickback and pushback on this offensive line, yeah, you can stop this run game. But if they get their double teams off and they get initial movement off the line, it's an issue. Yeah, it's an issue.
Mm-hmm. All right, Brian, I look forward to talking to you on Sunday during Green Bay game day, and I'm very appreciative of you not only being on that program but now adopting my don't say yes or no to Alex Stroh's yes or no questions. Dude, we're always smarter thanks to you. We appreciate you so much. Thanks.
All right, guys, take it easy.
That is the great Brian Bulaga with his we'll continue to experiment with his royalty-free walk-up music. But he will always provide good insight.
The good news is,
no matter what.
Homer's has always been royalty free, right?
I believe so.
I don't know what the rules
we're
are.
We're going to find out today.
For Duke Tomato and the All-Star Frogs, I do know that if Duke Tomato was a true rock and roll star, he'd be able to be booked at Hard Rock Casino Rockford, maybe even have some merch in the Rock Shop.
With Dolly and the whole crew down there, and yes, indeed. We just had a long discussion yesterday. Jesse's got the slips. We were down there in May. Jordan Love, MVP, plus 2,500. Uh-oh. They got a great sports book. They have great table games. They got a ton of slot machines. Everything you're looking for at Hard Rock Casino Rockford. It's about 60 minutes from the greater Madison area. Now is the time to experience what true high-limit play feels like, surrounded by that rhythm, indulgence, and unmistakable energy of Hard Rock Casino Rockford. We'll elevate that high-limit room experience, deliver premium table games play that is tailored for discerning players with enhanced game rules, including blackjack, where the dealer stands on a soft 17, which is huge. You'll enjoy better odds, faster play, and the kind of authentic high-limit action that sets Hard Rock Casino Rockford apart. And you know what? If that's not your jam, they got great noodles at the UU Noodle Bar. They got steaks. They got everything. Today's Wednesday, too. If you're on the older side, head on down there. They got the old senior citizens discount going today over lunch. So they got everything you're looking for right down there. Hard Rock Casino Rockford. Again, 60 minutes from Madison. What you laughing about, son? What you laughing about?
We saw a huge uptick in-person attendance for our show, the second show we did at Hard Rock Casino Rockford, because of that lunch special. So we appreciate them having that.
Heck yeah.
We had a much bigger crowd, and it wasn't just because we were there. That's why
my favorite part was when Tausch thought it was for us. He asked one of the wait staff, "Oh, no, it's senior lunch day. It's always crowded." Oh,
I never once asked any questions about that. I don't know why you make stuff up.
I remember that differently then.
And tons of fat guy jokes as well.
Yeah, tons of them.
The 10 o'clock hour starts in 2 minutes, so stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.